When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce.
You know, I think it's appropriate that the first words you hear when we start this show is, it's time for the Del Olalea Show. Because it never starts at 10 for reasons that are pretty apparent. I don't know that any other show starts with, it's time for the show. So I'm glad that that's an unintended consequence. Hey, now it's time for the show. It could start at 10:07, could start at 10:04. We never know, but now it's time for the show, and it's also time for a break if we just go by our traditional clock. Anthony, you have carryover from the previous show. We will get to you. We're going to get out of here pretty quickly. We'll just give some opening thoughts, and if anyone wants to get in on the Texans or anything else this weekend, maybe you were at the party, which was a fun time for a lot of people. Maybe if you caught the brunt of John's jokes about you, it wasn't so fun, but for the most part, I think everyone had a good time. So we'll talk about the party in some ways. But, of course, it's Texans time. Week one of the season is not over because we still have, two Monday night games tonight. But the Texans go in to L.A., of course, with all the hype of the new season beginning. And they had major changes on the offensive side of the ball, from offensive line to coaching on the offensive line and, of course, at O.C., and after watching them for four quarters lose a game 14-9, if you told me that was the Bobby Slowick, Chris Strausser-led team, would I fight you on it? No. Like, the Texans handled stunts better. Sure. But not the first time they saw one. The Rams got home on a stunt the first time they ran one. Now, it was the fade ball down the sideline to Nico Collins, so CJ got the ball out of his hands quick. Titus Howard didn't pick up the stunt. I think Bryant Young made contact with CJ. Didn't affect the throw, probably. Maybe rushed it a beat. CJ had to get the ball out and maybe affected the accuracy. I don't know. But they did get home early. The season started with a holding penalty on Cam Robinson, who was a surprise starter at left tackle, I think, because we initially thought it'd be Ursary at left tackle, but Ingram was hurt, so they had to flip some things around, and Ursary went back to right tackle. So we got a holding call to start. We had a delay of game penalty on that first drive as well. So Anthony, who called in to the previous show saying, same old Texans, I can't really fight him on it, man. It felt like a replay of last year. The only hope that you can live in is that it was just game one and things will get better. You could say CJ's accuracy at times was rushed by what he thought was going to be an incoming pass rush. There were moments where he did some of the things we've seen from him in the last couple of years, particularly last year when he had to. He could make some plays with his legs, extended plays for a first down, made some nice throws, and then there were moments of inaccuracy. Like the Dalton Schultz play, maybe in some people's eyes, you wouldn't say that was inaccuracy, the one where he bobbles the ball, comes down out of bounds, doesn't make the catch. But CJ, and it's we're nitpicking, but when you are a quarterback who has to live on accuracy, your placement of the football is going to matter more than what we saw last night where Josh Allen can run for first downs. And, of course, Lamar Jackson can do it. So how CJ wins is his reading of the field and where he puts the football. The Dalton Schultz ball was inside a little bit, enough for Cam Kitchens to make a play on it, wound up being an incomplete pass. You want to blame Dalton Schultz? Maybe don't blame anyone. That's just the course of a football game. So those things kind of popped up as well. Him throwing off his back foot. All things combined, along with the 11 penalties, to lead to a 14-9 loss against a good front, against a team that made the playoffs last year, who had their starting quarterback. And the Texans defense controlled that game for the most part, except for the last drive of the Rams going into the half, and then the first drive coming out, where those are two touchdowns. They go up 7-6. The Texans get a field goal, and then the Rams come out to start the second half and score again. So you want to call it the middle eight. That's what it's sometimes called. The Texans definitely lost the middle eight. Their defense gave up those two touchdowns. But other than that, they did what I thought they would do. This is a defense-first team, and that's how it's going to be. And that's how they're going to win, it looks like, going forward. But it's only week one.
Yeah,
but
I would just like a touchdown from the offense.
Of course.
That would be nice. Look, you know, I know defense first, but can we get
offense
can we get
at
like
all?
A side dish of offense?
There's a lot to get to on this game. So we will discuss expectations and what we would want. And I'll be clear. The Astros will still be a topic of conversation. But speaking of same old, same old. The Astros are the same old Astros over the weekend. So if you want to talk Astros, 713-780-3776. But I cannot guarantee a large focus on that baseball team, considering they have been the same team for the last 2 months as far as how they play. And they lose a series in Arlington. They're 2.5 up on the Mariners. What are the Rangers now within 4 or something like that? So they're pretty much in the same spot that they were when they started the series. Up enough where you're not freaked out because you know the other two teams aren't great, but you're not thrilled with how they play. They lose the second consecutive series, and now they got Toronto. So the Astros can be part of the conversation. No debilitating injuries, correct? I didn't see that over the weekend where we find out another guy is going to be gone for an extensive amount of time. Like Arrigetti, their initial words on him aren't like, well, pack it up for him. That's initially, I heard from Espada, and he wasn't like, well, we're going to see Arrigetti in 2026 or 2027. So we'll see once the inflammation dies down, I guess, what the actual issue is. I didn't hear about anybody.
Was Ort? Was that over the weekend?
Was Caleb Ort the latest? That's possible. I'll look that
up. I thought
up.
It was another bullpen. It might not be Ort. It was another bullpen guy.
Yeah.
It's tough. This was the first, you know, capital R real football weekend because you have, I mean, not just Saturday and Sunday, but with the NFL, you have it on Thursday
and
Friday.
And we had a party that we were focused on as well.
And so the Astros really did take a back seat to at least in my brain. So it was one of those relievers have some Brent Strom injury.
A Butcher of Bel Air injury. We did see Jake Meyers come back up. You're right. Caleb Ort, effective today, which was on the 5th, or Friday. We have placed Caleb Ort on the 15-day IL due to right elbow inflammation. It's always that. All right, I see you, Anthony and Jeff. We'll get to you guys when we come back. Anyone else want to get in and talk? Well, you know the deal, because a lot of listeners came up to me and said kind of how the construct of our show they enjoy, where it can be open to anything. So you know the deal. 713-780-3776. If you want to lead us towards the Astros, that's cool. But I will tell you now, big football weekend. And we'll discuss that in depth. Well, as much in depth as we will like to do. We'll talk about it. Anthony, Jeff, anyone else, we'll get to you when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Attention taxpayers, if you owe $5,000 or more and have missed another tax deadline, you're officially on the IRS's radar. The IRS has resumed aggressive collections. That means wage garnishments, bank levies, even seizures of your home, car, or retirement accounts. If you owe $5,000 or more and missed the deadline, you're stacking new debt on top of what you already owe. Call Priority Tax Relief now. Their experts fight back fast and are saving their clients millions in tax debt every month.
I owed over $50,000. and they settled it for pennies on the dollar. These guys are as legit as they come.
After speaking on my behalf with the IRS, my entire debt of $25,000 will be eliminated.
Whether you've received collection letters or you're already facing liens and garnishments, call for your free consultation. There are no upfront fees. Priority tax relief. Let's make your taxes our priority. Call 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195.
From kickoff to cash out, ESPN Bet has the tools you need to score more on game days. Bet smarter with stats at your fingertips. Get personalized parlays built just for you. And with your fantasy team synced right in the app, you can back your squad. Right now, new customers get $100 in bonus bets when you bet $10. Sign up with promo code USL to get started. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
What if a quarterback completed 4 out of his 5 passes, or a point guard hit 4 out of 5 shots from behind the arc? Well, now, when you're hiring, you can play at that level, because 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter's technology hustles to find skilled people for your job, and you can invite your top picks to apply. Try ZipRecruiter for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/sports. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sports.
DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles is your best bet this football season. Catch all the action and immerse yourself in over 3,200 square feet of LED screens. Wager, watch, and win in the sleekest setting with the best odds. Order some of your favorite bites and sip on an award-winning cocktail at your game day headquarters. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook, Louisiana's largest sportsbook. At the Golden Nugget Casino Lake Charles, a two-hour drive from Houston. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Please call 1-877-770-STOP.
Jeremy Branham here for my good friends at HR&P. For 25 years, Mike Holly, U of H class of 1990, has led HR&P protecting the interests of Cougar-owned businesses. HR&P provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. Cougar-owned businesses let HR&P customize a plan to rid you of the demands of human resources, eliminate your HR burdens with HR&P, and get back to growing your business. Learn more by visiting hrp.net/U of H.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll hear from CJ Stroud. There was an interesting quote he had about week one being a wake-up call. I don't know how the Texans prepare. Well, we'll listen to CJ and ask whether we should start to question how they prepared in week one, because he made mention of it. So we'll get to that. But first, let's hear from Anthony. He wants to talk about something that happened very early in the previous show. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys. So, in the words of the late, great lesbian Craig, he used to say, there is a thing called a black quarterback guy. See, the black quarterback guy, they only care about black quarterbacks, obviously. So even if you're invested in a team that you've seen all your life, if they're facing against a black quarterback, then you're going to root against your team solely for that black quarterback to win. Even if that black quarterback just happens to be trash, they throw 6 interceptions. Oh, it's not the black quarterback's fault. It's the wind that was blowing too hard. It's the receivers didn't run the right route. It's the bad coaching. It's the offensive coordinator. It's the bad offensive line. It's the lack of running game. It's everything to do with everything else besides the black quarterback. So we need to call these guys out like Lesley and Craig did when they call and they basically say that the black quarterback is superior over everything like that. Well, Josh Allen pretty much should have lost that game last night, but he came back and won. White guy. Tom Brady, the best quarterback that's ever played in the league. White guy. Can't run. Don't want him to run. But, you know, it is what it is. So, you got Steve McNair, Don McNabb, Michael Vick and everything like that, that people said they really couldn't play and they showed they can. Like, if you look, go into a game looking at somebody's race, then you already lost, like, pretty much all the battle. Like, I don't want to listen to anything you're going to say. You look at these players as actual players. They don't care about you. They're not going to bleep you, bro. Get over yourself. Now, let's talk about the Texans. CJ did kind of play slightly better. The interception, in my opinion, wasn't his fault, even though he did throw it up to a rookie receiver. And then somehow the super tall rookie receiver got the ball snatched away from a shorter defensive back. But the thing I'm frustrated with the Texans is it's the same offensive line problem. It's the same lack of run game. I mean, the running game actually was working. They just only ran the ball like 12, 13 times. That was the frustrating part. And, of course, they did something just bizarre and stupid. It's putting a four straight running back at the end of the game. So that's why the Texans is the same old with me. So.
Appreciate it, Anthony. Anthony, the first part of his call was about Gary, who called in earlier on the previous show to discuss his infatuation or love for black quarterbacks. Gary wants to celebrate black quarterbacks whenever he can, and he admitted to it. He's rooting for the black quarterbacks in this league. I don't know that Gary roots for a specific team, so he may not fall under the circumstance that you set out, Anthony, where if a black quarterback's going as his favorite team, he's going to root for the other team. I don't know that he has a favorite team. He may just be rooting for the success of those quarterbacks. Either way, I still blame Lance for that. He prompted that call. He got what he wanted. And it, much like a lot of things that happened on that show, is filtered into this show. Anthony, appreciate the call. As far as the Texans are concerned, the four-string running back thing, sure. But I don't know who else they would have had out there to be the pass-catching third-down back. That's Darius's role. Outside of being a special teamer, I don't know that Woody Marks is ready to have an expanded role as their third-down back. And Nick Chubb, not his forte at this point to be a guy who's catching balls out of the backfield and making plays. Look, it's unfortunate that this will be hung on Dare, who's been a solid contributor in his way for years now. And D'Amico loves him. The entire team loves him. Well, we didn't play the sound, but Frank Ross was very effusive of his praise last week. Would that have happened with someone else? I would say no, just because I believe in the butterfly effect. If someone else is out there, can I guarantee that Landman? I don't want to call him Landman because I immediately think of the show. So I want to say Landman instead.
Normally when people's last name are M-A-N,
it's
Min.
It's E. Yeah, it sounds like an E.
We didn't go Freeman.
Yeah, it's Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, so I'm going to go. It might have initially, way back when, been Freeman.
Historical things. Not to bring up race again, but with the people of Morgan Freeman's race.
Yes, it could have been Freeman, but it's been changed to Freeman. I'm going to go with Landman. Now, he is from South Africa, I believe.
Oh, okay. So that might be different.
I'm not sure how they would say, I guess. I guess I can go to the Rams pronunciation guide on their roster, but I'm gonna go with Landman until I'm corrected by someone that I believe in or trust.
Or I see a replay and it's like, wait, that was Billy Bob Thornton with the
why I don't want to call him Landman, because I think of Billy Bob Thornton from that show. But he makes a great play, and it costs and partly cost you the game. There's no guarantee they would have scored a touchdown. They were lucky to be in that spot. If the Rams just keep handing the ball off the Kyren Williams as opposed to throwing the ball to the backup tight end, maybe it doesn't go that. Maybe he doesn't get hit with the great play by Aziz Ashayer to force the fumble and the great challenge by D'Amico. A lot of things could have happened that could have not allowed for the Dare fumble. It is the biggest play in the game from the Texans side, at least on offense. You'd say the biggest play in the game for the Texans on defense was watching Nacua be motioned into the slot on third down and having one-on-one with Jalen Petrie. Gee, who talked about Jalen Petrie in the slot on Friday?
Yeah, I was going to say, both this show and the morning show had long discussion about the Jalen Petrie slot corner, remembering back to the Thursday night game against, it was, at least that time, it was Devontae Adams on the Jets.
It was Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams was on the field, but they decided to go with Nacua. Who, I mean, what a hit on Nacua in that first quarter.
Yeah.
That's like a football movie hit of like where you're like, guys don't really bleed inside their helmets very often. Nope.
There's a couple of those for the bleeding. Texans. Was it Toa Toa or
Toa Toa got Nacua.
Who drilled Devontae, but it actually hurt Stingley, but Stingley. Was that Hanson or it was a 30 number. I don't know.
It might have been Toa Toa again.
He drilled on the first Rams third down, I think, conversion on a slant. He drills Devontae Adams, who bends back. Mm. But he's fine. And Stingley, who's making the tackle on the other
fire.
End, is the one who didn't get actually contacted by Toa Toa, I believe. But he felt the effects of it the rest of the game. I imagine we might see him as limited on Wednesday with a hip or something. That's just part of the game, and it led to Stingley maybe not being as effective as we expected him to be.
Yeah, but that defense was I think the defense is as advertised. I know everyone's gonna complain about the offense, rightfully so, like you said. Other than like the specifics of how they were running the ball, whether, you know, zone blocking versus gap scheme, that was the only difference. That everything else, if you just look at the output, it looked like a Bobby Sloat coach team. As far as the offense goes, the defense, that they're going to be able to hang their hat on their defense this year. I'm willing to call it. Because yeah. I don't think the Rams play poorly on offense. I think they're it's just hard to move the ball.
Yeah, Stafford, you look at those numbers, and very efficient. It's just they got hampered by penalties too. And yeah. You look at the Texans, they are a scary master for anyone. You want to mitigate the number of times they can wreck a game. And Will Anderson made a couple plays.
I thought that he was going to get the snap over over Stroud's head. There's like a split
head.
Second yeah. where I was like, is Will Anderson going to beat him to this ball?
Yeah.
That might be the only way the Texans score. Well, no, I didn't know. At that point, I didn't know at that time that was going to be the only time the best chance to score a touchdown was a ball snap 4 feet over Matt Stafford's head.
Yeah, 9 points, no touchdowns. Just a repeat of what we've seen.
Yeah.
The penalties, the CJ having to scramble and not throw with set feet because of what he fears coming from the other side. It all felt very familiar. And considering all the talk about how things should be different, because we have an offense that is built for the specifics of this roster, not cookie cutter. If you want to superimpose Bobby Slowick's face on Nick Caley and just say, hey, the same play caller from last year was calling plays this year, I would say, you know what, if you thought that, I wouldn't blame you. Sure, there are intricacies of what is being called that any film nerd will say, well, these things are different. But the end result is the same, where you struggle, where you commit penalties to kill drives, and your quarterback, who isn't a Superman back there, needs to be a Superman for you guys to be viable as an offensive unit. We'll hear from CJ when we come back, because we're going to get to a couple calls before we get out of here for the segment. But he talked about why big plays weren't happening in the passing game. And it's because the Rams don't have to respect a running game. As much as Nick Chubb was churning out 3 to 4 yards at times, that's not enough to make a team fear you. Like, even Derrick Henry, what he did against the Buffalo Bills. Now, I don't know if Chris Collinsworth was right or not, but they were still in too deep coverage, or too deep. He said it was because they wanted two shots at the apple, like, because they didn't believe one guy can get him down, so they wanted both safeties with a chance to tackle him. By the way, didn't work either.
That's such a funny way to set up your defense of, we're going to have two guys that are 20 yards away from him.
So he'll get 20 yards. Maybe one of them will be able to bring him down.
Maybe the first guy, as he's getting thrown into the crust of the earth,
he'll slow him down. And then the other guy can clean it up.
Yeah.
Not a lot of that happened.
Maybe one of the linebackers can work back.
Unless Ed Oliver was wrecking shop, but he did it several times.
Yeah,
so he was great, good. Big plays. That whole two safeties back thing wasn't working. The Rams are doing it just because they had no fear of the Texans run the football, and it worked out for them just fine, limiting them to 9 points. Let's get to Jeff here. He wants to get on, and we'll get to Eric, and then we'll go to break, and then we'll start to hear from the Texans about what happened yesterday in their 14-9 loss. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's going on, Dell? What's going on, guys? Hey, I got a couple things. Real for the Astros, just a comment. You know, we've got the Toronto, Seattle, Texas, maybe, and then we got the Angels.
not only do we have to win the home games, but we don't play well against teams that are below 500. So I'm just as worried, if not more worried, about playing the last series as I am the first few series. So that can give us some trouble. As far as the Texans go, and this is what I wanted to ask you, why couldn't CJ step back further in a shotgun? I mean, is there a certain amount of feet you're allowed to go? Why can't he go back 10 or 15 yards? Because that few seconds it takes him to back up and get set, he'd already see in the field. I mean, I don't understand why he doesn't just go back and shotgun on third down. What's the point of running back 10 feet and then stopping and the defense is already there?
Well, I would say
maybe you can explain it better.
I would say your, mostly because I play a lot of video games, your setup would lead to bad angles. Let's just say the snap would get there in time. Doesn't mess up your timing.
Yeah, the snap would be...
Let's remove that from the equation, which would be a problem in itself. Now, instead of having a center, you'd have the John Weeks replacement snapping the football back to CJ, which you don't want.
God help us.
A guy who's 210 pounds blocking a defensive tackles. Beyond that, you're also putting your O-line at a disadvantage because of the angles that the Russians would take, because now they really wouldn't even have to engage with them. They could just...
It would just be a straight
shot to the quarterback.
15 yards past.
All of that stuff ties in from the timing of the ball getting back to the quarterback to where his drop ends. That's all tied in with the offensive line and then the receivers and their time. Yeah. There's a lot of things that go into play why you don't have the setup that you're suggesting.
Because normally the ends are starting wider than the tackles.
Yeah.
And so you want them to have to meet the tackle.
Yes, as opposed to just running around them because they're going to have a speed advantage. That's just part of the setup of football. You'll hear guys talk about it, particularly old offensive linemen. They'll talk about how if a quarterback's drop goes further back than it should, it just gives like a runway to a rusher. And they'll say that's not on the tackle because the tackle expects the quarterback here. If he keeps fading back, he's setting up the tackle for failure. That's all it is. Yes, CJ does spend a lot of time retreating. That's not what they're looking for, though. They'd love for it to be where a pocket could form, and he could step up. It's just not the way they're built offensively because of their offensive line and how they have to do things even to start to mitigate the problems. And then CJ has to do what he has to do to survive. And it'll lead to results like you saw yesterday afternoon. We talked about it going into the weekend that the Rams don't have a great secondary as far as their corners are concerned. You wouldn't know it considering what we saw. Nico got only 5 targets. He caught 3 balls. It's the Texans have a fatal flaw. And even if it's somewhat mitigated because of what the offensive line coach does or what the coordinator calls, it restricts you from having an offense that appears to be viable against really good teams. And if you're going to commit penalties, then you really got no shot. Let's get to Eric and then we'll go to break. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. I thought the Texans got a new offensive coordinator. That offensive play calling was rather pedestrian. Also, are the Miami Dolphins in trouble? Are they going to trade Tyreek Hill? Or are they going to retire? Because I heard that there are already rumblings about him wanting to get traded. And one more thing. Do you think the Longhorns are going to have problems with the Gators after Florida lost to South Florida? I'll hang up to listen.
Let's start. They did hire a new offensive coordinator. It's been discussed, yes, that it appears very similar to what we saw last year. But, yes, there is a new OC. Were your rumblings about Tyreek from last December when he asked to be traded?
Rumblings from Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, rumblings from Tyreek Hill himself. Are the Dolphins in trouble? Look, the Dolphins did everything they could to further the narrative that that's a team on the brink. The talent on the roster would suggest they should be better than what you saw yesterday. They just weren't. Even if you remove all the Daniel Jones of it all, how could you possibly let Daniel Jones do that, which is part of the equation? The Colts appeared going into the year to be on their level. Like, okay, yeah, you're not the Ravens or the Bills. Very few people are. Teams are. Maybe no one is, outside the Eagles possibly. But at least when you're playing the Colts, at least people are like, yeah, you don't want to have on the road. Does Colts have Daniel Jones? That's a game you should at least compete in, and they did not. We've seen teams get blown out week one and not have a carryover. It's just that with all the noise surrounding that team, for that to happen, it just feeds what has been kind of a first guy to get fired, Mike McDaniel. Oh, Tyreek getting traded, all that stuff just gets ramped up. Now, of course, next Sunday is another opportunity. it's a team Tua's never lost to in the Patriots at home. Drake May didn't look particularly good against the Raiders. Not surprising to me, it's Drake May. But I know other people have high expectations. You lose that one. Well, okay, we'll see. And with the Bills coming up on Thursday night, rumblings turn into something else, because you got a real 0-3 start on your hands with the Bills coming up on a short week.
Turns into Mike McDaniel on the Fox desk pretty fast.
Yeah, well, he's kind of a mumbler. I'm not sure he would get that job immediately. We'll see what he might do. You beat the Patriots.
Podcast.
You beat the Patriots. You push it off for another week. We'll see. Two teams desperate to get a win.
Both teams need one.
Both teams.
Put up the graphic of when you start 0-2.
That's right.
Your chances to make the playoffs.
And put up the graphic of Tua never losing to the Patriots. All that stuff. Well, and we'll see how it plays out. What's his other thing? Texas?
Oh, yeah. Well, they beat the Gators.
They should.
Feel better about it.
The Gators aren't great offensively.
Feel better.
That whole DJ Lagway stuff where he was talking about how he didn't feel great about their performance against Long Island. Turns out the kid, dead on.
Knows what he's talking about. A thing or two.
He is supposed to be one of the better quarterbacks in college football. That has not played out so far this year. Maybe missing all that time and not practicing with his teammates, not because of anything in his control. He was just hurt.
Yeah.
And maybe that has played a part in the lack of chemistry for that offense. And Billy Napier not handing it to the guy who was doing pretty good, at least at yards per carry. Ball didn't help at all. And, you know, when you spit on someone, when you got them in like a second and 15 or so late in the game, like that Gator defender did, not a cause.
Yeah, teams are 1-1 when a player spits on another one this week.
And to be honest, if CeeDee Lamb could catch a football, teams would be 0-2.
it should be 0-2.
Yes. So, as Tom Fornelli said, the guy who works for CBS, does the Cover 3 podcast, hey, we told Florida to be more like Georgia, but not in that way.
Not like that.
So I think we got all of Eric's stuff in.
Yeah. We won't actually preview a game that happens a month from now.
No.
But yes, feel better now that they lost to South Florida, who might just be good.
Yeah, and they'll get another test. Now we're talking about South Florida getting the test as opposed to the other way around. They got to go into top five Miami's building, and we'll see.
We'll see what Byron Brown can do.
And, well, credit to you for that. The UPS reference didn't get by me, Sean. Also, someone pointed out very funnily that considering this game's on the CW, is it the biggest sporting event to ever be played on the CW? 5 versus 18?
Did they play football in Smallville ever?
They did, because at one point, Clark Kent was a quarterback, and then he realized it's not fair.
I roughly remember that. I didn't remember a Smallville. But yeah, there we go.
I don't know if
did he make state?
I think he played. I think he got.
He should have.
I think he practiced, but then he realized, wait a minute, I got all these superpowers. It's probably not fair. And then you got to limit yourself because you can't look like Superman on the field.
God.
So I don't think he actually ever played a game.
I would have done it.
Better man than me is Superman. For multiple reasons. I think Lana Lang's boyfriend at the time was a quarterback. And that's one of the reasons he wanted to do it. Then he realized it's not fair to everyone else because, you know, I got superpowers. All right, we'll go to break with that. It always evolves into nerddom somehow, some way. We'll hear from C.J. Stroud, something that may be a little concerning, considering it was week one. Why'd you need a wake-up call, and was there week of practice to blame? We'll hear from C.J. Stroud when we come back.
But first, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And yeah, it was a long weekend of football, a game every day. Since Thursday, and there's another one tonight, and it's a long week for Prize Picks. Week one, it's week one for everybody, myself included. I'm a little upset, Nick Haley. Maybe I should be upset at myself for not knowing better that the Texans gonna Texan sometimes, and Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither was an offensive line, but there's a chance for me to get back on the horse. You have to have a cornerback mindset, a short memory, because there's Monday Night Football tonight on ESPN, and you got the Vikings taking on the Bears. J.J. McCarthy's first game, your first look at J.J. McCarthy, first look at the Ben Johnson-led Bears, and judging by the non-Ben Johnson-led Lions, I'm ready to call it, at least right now. I'm expecting good things from Chicago's offense in week one. It seems like Ben Johnson took all the good plays with him when he left Detroit. So give me a more on the Caleb Williams passing yards, that it's a 219, and you can combine that with another max discount. This time, Travis Kelce on Sunday against the Eagles. All he needs to do is get 1 yard. You put those together, you're on your way to 3X your money on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
ESPN 97.5. Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions.
Attention, anyone that owes money to the IRS. Every day, your unpaid tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. The longer you wait, the more you will end up paying. If you owe $10,000 or more, now is the time to settle your debt before the IRS takes aggressive action, like taking your wages or property. A special toll-free number has been established so you can stop penalty fees, avoid liens, levies, or other hostile measures by the IRS. Call Tax Relief Helpers right now.
I got behind on my taxes and owed $48,000. I called and they got my bill lowered to just $3,500.
I owed $87,000 in taxes and it was scary. I got the amount I owed down to just $3,500. I saved $83,500.
If you owe money to the IRS, don't wait another day. Your tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. Call right now before the IRS enforces liens, levies, or other aggressive measures. The call and consult are absolutely free. Call now.
Call 800-692-7009. 800-692-7009. That's 800-692-7009.
Tired of hearing scary radio ads about the IRS? Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000 or $500,000, we have a solution. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS with zero risk to you. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with a BBB. End your tax nightmare today by visiting TRA.com or call 800-275-1728. That's 800-275-1728.
What is your next success story? At University of Maryland Global Campus, you can succeed again. With more than 135 affordable online degrees and certificates to help you move your career forward. From cybersecurity and AI to healthcare and MBA, our programs help you build critical thinking, leadership, and communication skills that set you apart in today's job market. Designed for working adults, focused on the future. Classes start September 17th. Learn more at umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
Buying a new vehicle shouldn't be hard. Monument Chevrolet makes it easy. Random here. Monument Chevrolet has a huge selection of Chevy vehicles priced with transparency. No hidden fees, no upcharges, no dealer add-ons. For over 50 years, Monument Chevrolet has earned relationships with thousands of customers doing business this way. For new and used cars, fleet sales, and service, visit Monument Chevrolet in Pasadena right off 225 and Beltway 8 and monumentchevrolet.com. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Houston, have you tried Portillo's yet? Portillo's brings authentic Chicago-style flavor with their slow-roasted Italian beef, Chicago-style hot dogs, char-broiled burgers, and crinkle-cut fries with cheese sauce. Save room for their famous chocolate cake and cake shake. Eat in, drive through, or order online. Now with 5 Houston locations. Find yours at Portillo's.com. That's Portillo's.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we'll hear from CJ Stroud in this segment. You want to join us? The number is 713-780-3776. And we got tickets to give away to the Cougs, the 2-0 Cougs. They take care of Rice thanks to a former Rice Owl. Number 40, Connors, the running back. He scored a couple long touchdown runs and then held his hands up to his ear to say, I can't hear you. And, well, you're at Rice Stadium, so no surprise.
You're not in the library.
Yeah, no surprise.
They're not making much noise in the library either.
But yeah.
In fairness.
True, but maybe.
Good etiquette.
But
there.
Depending on, maybe they found a book they needed, maybe louder than the Rice fan. Yeah. So who knows? So he had a great day.
We'll hear from Willie Fritz on the morning show tomorrow at 7:05. He'll talk about beating the Rice Owls, and also he's got Prime, Coach Prime, coming into town. We'll give away tickets to that. Mm-hmm. And the Buffalo's got a quarterback issue because they had to go to their third stringer to help them win their game. So we'll see who is playing quarterback for the Colorado Buffaloes when they come to town to face a pretty good Cougar defense. So we'll give away tickets to that one today on this show. But let's hear from CJ Stroud. This one, this quote in particular is one that stuck with me because you don't expect this from week one. You don't expect your quarterback to say it about the roster and the team as a whole week one. But here's CJ Stroud on why maybe the game against the Rams is a wake-up call.
I just think the way we practiced this week, I think we could have practiced better. I think, you know, I love the confidence we have, but there's a, I don't know, I always say there's like a type of mindset is like, did I do enough? And I think it's a healthy way to be, because then you'll probably do more. So I just, for me, you know, preparing, I got to do a better job. And I also got to hold my guys accountable, you know, for that one exotic look. And it's the first game of the year. We got a lot of exotic looks we did not expect. They did too, but they made the play. So you can come up with a million excuses. We got to just be better.
So is it a lack of preparation, or is it just a quarterback up there saying, hey, we got to be better? Normally we don't get the thought that the Texans are not ready to go. And the defense clearly was ready to go. And they played a winning football. They played winning football. That effort gets you a win against that team, that level of talent, and that quarterback. The offense did not. And week one is the time, because they've had all offseason to figure out what they're going to do game plan-wise against you. And if you get tricked and you're not ready for some things, okay. You'll chalk that up to, hey, credit to the Rams. They got us on this one. I mean, and we don't probably say that enough. We look at a player and how they play, or the offense as a whole and how they play. And go, oh, man, these guys suck today. Sometimes you get got. Sometimes there's a game plan put on the field that isn't on tape. And they get you. We know there are some issues as a whole with that Texans offense, but let's give some credit to the Rams, which we talked about quite a bit leading up to it. That front is pretty scary. And then someone who we did not mention at all, because how many people know the opposing team's defensive coordinator? You got to be a real freak to know. I'm sure the film watchers do, but how many people offhand know that a Shula is running the Rams defense?
Especially week one. Like, give me a couple weeks to get familiarized when they show him on the sideline calling in a play. Yeah. A Shula. I was like, of the
football
Don Shula?
Family Shulas? Yeah. Yes, Chris Shula. They've got them all. They've got plenty. Like, the Mannings are at the forefront now. But if we're talking about past football names, Shula's up there. And they still continue to pump out coaches.
I mean, he is like the Arch Manning of Shula coaches. Because I thought we were done.
You thought you were done with Mike and Dave?
Yeah, I thought that after Mike and Dave, I was like, okay. I think
Shula is the grandson.
I figured it was something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if Don was still getting at it to be able to create.
I mean, he would have been like 60.
True. That's true. Yeah. Well, I don't know how old he is. The son of David Shula. The Shula family still in our lives.
Yeah, and it was a good defensive line. We knew that going in with the two ends and. I thought, for the most part, it was about as what you could expect of going up against Verse and, I mean, Young looked good.
He looked good.
I'm not sure how much we even talked about Bryant Young or Byron Young.
He was the second,
of the
big time defensive lineman. So he didn't get a big mention throughout our lead up to the game.
I don't think we said Landman's name once.
Though. Landman.
And we did probably say Landman at some point.
Yeah, but not in that context.
Yeah, talking about Jerry Jones's monologue.
Of course.
But, not in the linebacker that caused the fumble. I think defenses have gotten, I don't want to say too good.
At the peanut punch.
Like, it is not too good, but it is taught, and everyone does it. Everyone knows how to do it.
You know, I kind of have shrugged it off. Oh, they're really locked in on forcing turnovers this season because they didn't get enough last year. So I hear that all the time. So I'm like, okay, whatever. A lot of fumble stuff is luck. Not even just the creating of them, but the recovering of them.
Recoveries.
All of that stuff is just luck. So I don't really think about it much. But you have a learnable skill that I don't know how many times Landman learned that when he was playing for the Colorado Buffaloes. I don't know how much they taught that with Deion, but maybe. he got to LA and he's got it down.
I mean, you watch games this weekend, just nothing but peanut punching. Charles Tillman should go to the Hall of Fame. Maybe not like as a player,
as a contributor.
Like he invented a play more or less.
People have always tried to get the ball out.
I guess he perfected.
But the closed fist, I'm going to rear back and put one hand on you to control you, but still, my main focus is to punch this football out.
Yeah.
It's a reason. It's got a name.
Is he
it's
like
his
an
name.
FBI agent now?
That was a rumor. I don't believe that is true. Okay. It was when...
He was in the academy?
I don't know that he ever did any of that. I know it came out because he was alleged to have arrested like a former Bear who was... Like, who was the former Bear?
Sam Adams?
Who was a former Bear who was running a drug ring?
Yeah, no,
like.
It was a receiver.
Yeah, it was a receiver. I can't remember his name. Sam Adams,
no,
not him,
I'm sorry,
the
Sam
big
Adams.
Defensive lineman for the for multiple teams. I gotta remember. I'll remember it. But yeah, it was like Charles Timmel was in on the arrest, and it turned out he's not actually an FBI.
Be your own.
He did get a bachelor's degree in criminal justice.
Oh,
but I don't believe he is actually. Oh, he did join the FBI. You're right about that, but he wasn't in on the arrest of that particular player. Sam Hurd, yes.
There we go.
That was the name. But so they tried to draw.
Yeah, yeah.
The lines
in the movie that gets made about this.
Yeah,
that's what happens.
Yeah. Now I'm asking AI: did Charles Tillman arrest Sam Hurd and see if that actually, that was a long-standing rumor, but it actually didn't happen.
He was actually running away. He was fleeing the arrest, holding a bag of cocaine.
And Charles Tillman grabbed him with one arm and punched the cocaine out, punched a couple kilos out. And Sam Hurd, because, he's a drug dealer, had to stop and try to grab him. That's what led to his arrest.
Yeah.
I don't believe that happened.
Okay.
But either way, he is in the FBI, which is not what you expect. You know what? I wish Ryan Clark join the FBI because then I wouldn't have to see him on TV. And mostly it's...
You would say that. And, non-player.
That's a non-player opinion. Mostly it's because what he says leads to bigger conversations that I don't want to see on my timeline.
It's less of what he says. It's the fact that it then drives
because
the conversation.
Because I don't see what he says.
Yeah.
I don't actually see the shows that he says stuff on.
No, they're on mute in the studio.
Yeah, but when he says it, it becomes something that becomes conversation. And AI overview tells me he did not arrest Sam Hurd. Okay. Charles Tillman. I don't know what Ryan Clark was up to.
I don't think Ryan Clark's ever arrested anyone.
No, he because Tillman
citizens arrest
Tillman to become an he didn't become an FBI agent until 2018, and Hurd was arrested in 2011.
Wow.
So no, he wasn't involved.
Okay.
Thankfully, we have cleared that nonsense up. Unfortunately, we will deal with Ryan Clark on television after he got his extended contract. You know what? When he was online, kind of signaling his potential departure from ESPN, and then he wound up getting a new deal. Like he even edited I'm out clip of him. Well, I guess of all his best moments or something, talking about how the journey is long and whatever the next best step for me, I'll find it. I wish he would have found that next best step. Hey, well, if you say things on the pivot. Cool. I don't know how often that stuff is going to make it on my timeline because you're not on the big network. Now you can insult Peter Schrager, someone I don't care for one way or the other, and now it's a big thing. Like, oh, Ryan Clark goes after a talking head. Why is that a thing? Because Ryan Clark has a brand, and no one likes it. All right, we'll go to break with that. When we come back, we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans. He'll talk about penalties. Defensive head coaches get the I guess unwarranted tag of being disciplinarians and they're going to be hard nosed and they're not going to accept penalties. Well, the Rams got to accept 11 penalties from the Texans yesterday, And it's just a trend that has continued since D'Amico Ryans took over. And I can point to D'Amico Ryans as a line in the sand because the previous defensive coach, the Texans didn't get penalized very much. As soon as D'Amico Ryans got here and got better players, the penalties have become a thing. And now Sean and I have root for programs who have overcome penalties at their best because for whatever reason, that kind of coincided certainly back in our program's glory years. Like, highly penalized teams were winners because a lot of it was sometimes personal foul penalties, maybe a rough on the passer, maybe a pass interference. Yeah,
playing too hard penalties.
Yeah, a lot of playing too hard penalties, not procedure penalties, playing too hard penalties. Yeah. But they were talented enough to overcome. The Texans have proven probably not talented enough to overcome them. And we'll talk about that, and D'Amico Ryans will when we come back.